Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsor for our program, and that's Growmark, locally owned, globally strong. This week, we're going to learn about food chain communications with Kevin Murphy. And I have Kevin with me here on the phone. And Kevin, let's start out just by learning a little bit about you for people who don't know you.
Okay. Well, I graduated from University of Central Missouri here in the Midwest and immediately went into marketing and communications and have been in that ever since I left the college campus. Was in the newspaper business for several years and then advertising agency business, publishing business as it was going through its massive transformation, and then I started my own company back in 2007 called Food Chain Communications, and the goal was to help people in our food system communicate more effectively. And so we offer all sorts of services, the normal services that you would think of from a marketing and advertising type firm, but then we also offer our own products, which makes us a little unique. We have a program called Farmer Goes to Market, which is designed to help grocery stores understand what's going on in farming. And then we have a website called Truth in Food and a college outreach program called Truth in Food College Initiative. So those are just a few of the things that that we do here at Food Chain.
Well, when you talk about the kind of work you do for a client, let's say I come to you, and I'm assuming this could be anybody from a farmer to an agribusiness company to maybe it's a food chain of restaurants, right? Whatever. I mean, right. What are the kinds of things that you see them needing your services for?
Well, there's a number of things. Education would be number one. They need to kind of understand, I think, the dynamics of our food chain today. Many of the people down chain, being grocery stores and restaurants and those people that are removed from what's happening in agriculture, need to understand what's happening in agriculture and vice versa. I mean, you know, most of agriculture, it is something I talk about when I go to college campuses. Imagine if I said start a business and produce a product, but don't talk to the people who are selling your product. And really, I mean, when you look at where our products go, 52% or so flow through a grocery store. The other part goes to restaurants. And so you're not seeing a lot of dialogue and interaction with them. So we help kind of shore up those gaps by bringing communication tools to people to help them do that. And then we do simple things, you know. I mean, some of the things that companies need, white papers, educational information, events, ads, brochures, all that kind of fun stuff that that is part of the advertising's mainstream services.
Well, this is a big topic in agriculture, agribusiness today because, yeah, the consumers are getting all kinds of information 24/7 now. They carry around a little computer that also makes phone calls, and you know, there's so many apps now that they can look to, and probably some percentage of that information they're getting may or may not be really accurate. So it seems like more than ever, we're seeing even groups started as efforts to help try to communicate, let's say, the farm message to the urban public to better understand, because they're so disconnected. Right. What are some ways that you think some of your clients or companies are successfully being able to face this challenge right now?
Wow, that's a great question. I'm giving away industry secrets, but here's the difference. There's so much emphasis and money put towards educating the consumer. And I think that is misguided oftentimes and could be a colossal waste of money. Because while we need to educate the consumer, and that is something that can happen at some point, there is a whole set of people between the farmer and the consumer who have an influence on the buying process. And if we don't educate them, which I would call the industry infrastructure first, if we don't do that work first, then our message to the consumer is at best a hit and miss message. And it really makes agriculture recline on the old ideas of the 1980s, you know, when people had mullets and, you know, Duran Duran was the biggest group. You can't continue to run programs the same way you did then. You can't communicate the same way. And unfortunately, that's what agriculture is doing. I mean, if you look at the top campaigns that agriculture is very proud of, I would argue that those are awareness campaigns that are doing very little to move the consumer toward a greater trust in farming.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Truth in Food, which is an effort on your part to get a message out there in this whole sector with some interesting information. Tell us a little bit about what you're trying to do there with Truth in Food.
Well, the whole Truth in Food website started, I participated in a panel discussion, and I was in front of about 800 or 900 dairymen. And it was an interesting panel. There was an animal rights activist on the panel. And the moderator actually ended the event by asking if anybody had a final comment. And the animal rights gentleman stood up and said, I do have a final comment. Remember, God said, thou shalt not kill. And then he sat down. And I thought, man, I cannot believe, you know, you got 800 or 900 dairymen here. We were in a state that I would consider to be quite the Bible belt. And so I was waiting. And I waited for a response, and nobody did. Nobody gave any kind of a response to such jargon. And so I actually got on the plane and started to write an article called Thou Shalt Not Kill Animals. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the biblical case for that. I looked at the historical case for that, and I presented that. And I published that the next week or so, and all of a sudden, I mean, it launched Truth in Food. I had people calling, pastors in Wyoming. I had CEOs of hospitals calling. It was incredible. The power of the internet really showed its force for me that day. And then we started to just evolve that to try to address all sorts of issues, you know, from the philosophy and the theology side, which many people just do not understand, that really, at the end of the day, we're being attacked on agriculture, not through just science and not through just economics, but through ethical accusations. And if we don't answer them on those same grounds, you can't win. You cannot win the debate if you do not have a strong ethical stance for what you're doing and why you're doing it. You could have all the educational evidence for, you know, economics, you could have it for science, but without an ethical imperative, you will lose. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we've been really kind of passionate about. And so in 2010, that kind of fueled us to hold the first ever Ethics of Food Animal Production Roundtable. And ever since then, Chuck, I've been out trying to tell people the results of that. And it grows every year. It is not going away. The activists are masterful public relations tacticians, and they are winning. And when I say that, I know people out there think that they each have their own little agenda and each person's doing their own little thing, but right now I will tell you, beyond a doubt, the activists are moving the needle in their favor. And unless we understand how to frame an argument and the way to do it, and if we can't rationalize it through that ethical focus, we'll continue to have legislation that hinders the growth of the farmer.
Well, we're definitely seeing that happen most recently in the form of some, I guess they're called ag councils, state ag councils formed by the Humane Society of the United States, for example. And they're
right.
And you know, they've got, and I'm sure they are farmers who are part of this, but farmers that don't really seem to share beliefs with most of their brethren those states, from judging from comments we've received from writing about that. So there seems to be a never-ending group out there, and social media and this way we can transfer information so easily is making it very possible for groups to do this, some very well-funded, some not so well-funded. But do you think when you see what the agricultural industry is doing, do you think we're doing things right, heading in the right direction, or do you think we just got a long way to go?
Well, the popular answer would be, oh, yes, we are doing great things. Unfortunately, to be honest with you, no. I think we're wasting an incredible amount of resources, mm-hmm. and we're focusing on the wrong syllable. You know, we're really doing things in a fashion that is designed to be popular, when in fact, when somebody takes an ideological stance against you, there is no rationalizing or reasoning with those people. You know, everybody is up in arms, say, about Chipotle, for example. Right. You are not going to convince Chipotle to change their stance. I years ago had the chief marketing officer for Chipotle in Kansas City here, and we talked at length about this. We actually went to dinner with Bill Nyman, who at the time was the leading pork supplier for Chipotle. And Chipotle, you know, it strikes me as just ironic that here is a company that has moved itself to the top 20 of QSR restaurant chains. And for 6 years, 1993 to 1999, had none of this about natural, you know, beef and all these wonderful stances that they've taken. So it's funny that you can build your fortune on the backs of a farming process and product, and then at the same time demean and besmirch that product. To me, it's fascinating that nobody is calling them to account for that hypocrisy. Mm. So I mean, you just can't. Again, I mean, I know there's lots of organizations putting lots of money to dialoguing or building consumer trust, but when you start telling me to build consumer trust, you're talking about an immense undertaking. I mean, there are, 315 million people in the United States and 7 billion worldwide. I don't know very many organizations have enough money to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, here in the state of Missouri, you know, you lived in Jeff City, you know, here in the state of Missouri, there's 6 million people. If I say I'm going to reach the consumer, I better have more than $6 million to do it with. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to have to be more strategic about it. And that's where I think agriculture is still abiding by the old model of awareness campaign. You know, beef, it's what's for dinner. Pork, the other white meat. You know, got milk. Those are all campaigns that people just love, right? And that's why they've run each of them for over 20 years. But in the meantime, you look at the market share for those products, and every one of them has gone down, including pork, which probably is the least of the drops. But nonetheless, you know, has not achieved that level of, as everybody says, of really building consumer trust. They're doing awareness campaigns, and that's necessary, but it drains resources. You have to move to education.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that I can't agree more with the idea that we certainly do need that out there. Of course, you know, sometimes I wonder when you've got what used to be the food pyramid or food guide or whatever, food plate, whatever it's called now. People are complaining about the fact that we have so much obesity, and yet we've had great information if people wanted to look at it. I like to think a lot of it's just common sense, but
right,
and the fact that a lot of people don't want to take responsibility for their own actions. You know, you don't have to overeat if you don't want to.
Right. And you know, it's all about, I mean, look, I love fitness. I'm a fitness person. I always love to hear the nutrition theories, you know?
Yeah.
And it's always fascinating to me how these theories are constantly changing and evolving. You know, if you go to a gym today, you got to eat lots of chicken, you know, and lots of rice. And so they'll have different kinds of, different products they think are best. So, you know, you're right on that. There's so much information about food. But unfortunately, what's happening is people are positioning the farmer as the ultimate culprit on everything, from global warming to obesity to type 2 diabetes to the environmental degradation to animal abuse. And so it really is going to take a concerted effort on behalf of agriculture to kind of knock down the barriers between the different organizations and do something positive, but it has to be strategic. It cannot be awareness driven.
Interesting. So let's, before we close here, talk about what somebody would need to do if they want to not only get in touch with you, but perhaps see about having you do a little bit of work for them.
I'd love. Yeah, they could call me at a phone number. I'd be glad to give it out
sure,
over the airwaves.
Sure,
816-863-8880, or you can email me, kmurphy@foodchaincommunications.com. I will be speaking at the Missouri Young Farmers and Ranchers Farm Bureau event in about 2 weeks here in Missouri at Tenterra. I'd invite everybody to come down to that. Also have several events in the future. Look for me in your area, and please come out. The final thing I do want to say,
sure.
And Chuck, this is something that's very passionate and near and dear to my heart. Recently, an article was published in National Review Online by a gentleman by the name of Matthew Scully. The article is called Pro-Life, Pro-Animal. And Matthew Scully is a popular speechwriter in conservative circles. And if people want to see and really try to wrestle with understanding the idea of the food morality movement, there is no better piece to look at and read than Matthew Scully's piece. Again, it's called Pro-Life, Pro-Animal. It is probably the most egregious attack on agriculture, but unfortunately it shows just how deep these people are going to remake our food system and farming.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I have actually read it myself and just recently seen some sharing of that article via social media, and not in a real positive way from an agriculture standpoint, by the way.
Yeah, and I say that guy, you know, people always think that these arguments are just going to go by the wayside, but because of, you know, his speechwriting prowess, people will pay attention to that, and without a proper answer, you know, without an in-depth, strong, proper response, there will be people, and there already will be because he had it published, in legislative circles who will be forming their opinion about agriculture based on that piece.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrible. I agree. Well, thank you. If you could sum up what you want people to think about food chain communications, kind of what would be your short statement to answer that question?
The short statement is we want to help people communicate better in food. We want to be able to make sure that they understand the beauty of the U.S. food system. And unfortunately today, the U.S. food system has become political fodder to do exactly the opposite, and that is to belittle and besmirch the U.S. food system. And so we want to make sure that it's given the proper light. It is 20% of our GDP. So that is a powerful system. Unfortunately, politics has really crept in, so we need to do that. So just think of Food Chain as a communications firm, and if we can help you communicate, please give us a shout.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for taking time to visit with me today. Really enjoyed it, and I hope our listeners will as well. That's our Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.